Now, sometimes in our social change efforts, force may be necessary to protect ourselves from what we see organizations are doing. But of course, using nonviolent communication, whether we use force with our children or with organizations, we want to be sure that it's the protective use of force and not the punitive use of force. In other sessions, I've pointed out that protective use of force with children might be using some force to stop them from doing something that's harmful to themselves or others. But we do this stopping not with punitive efforts to punish them, but just to stop a behavior that we are concerned about until we can communicate with the child to find a more effective way of meeting their need and our need. Well, this same concept of protective use of force at times is going to be necessary in social change. There may be times when an organization is doing things that we believe is causing great damage to people in that region. And we may have hope that if we could communicate with the people who have the power to change, if we could get meetings with them, we could get them to see the damage that's being created, and we could help them to see other ways of meeting their needs and our needs. But they may not be willing to give us access to communicating with them. So that might be a situation where we would use a protective use of force. Now, the protective use of force differs from the punitive use of force in our thinking and in the intent of our strategies. The difference in our thinking is this: when we use the protective use of force, we don't see the other person as evil or bad and deserving of punishment. Our focus is on how we can stop what is creating the damage without being violent in the process of creating the stopping of the damage. So our thinking is not how bad people are who are doing the damage. Our thinking is focused on how we would like to protect life. This means that our intent is not to punish the people who are engaged in doing what we are fearful of. Our intent is simply to prevent it from continuing until we can have access enough with the people so that we can resolve our differences with them and in which changes can be willingly made that meets everybody's needs. For example, I was working with some parents in a school in one city, and these were minority parents who were very concerned about some ways in which their children were being treated in the school. They felt that this was very harmful. Some of them used these words: "They're destroying the spirit of our children with some of the policies," and they told me what some of these policies were in the school. And they asked me to help them in bringing about change in the school so that their children's needs would be better fulfilled. I suggested a way in which they might be able to talk to the principal of the school, who they saw making the rules that created the problems that concerned them. But when I talked about communicating with him, they said, "He won't talk to us. He told us it's his school, he'll do what he wants, and he doesn't need parents telling him how to run the school." So these might be conditions under which we sometimes have to use force. We see an organization, in this case a school, doing things that we might see is not meeting our needs as to how we would like our children to be treated. We might be confident if we could talk to the people who are contributing to the damage that we are concerned about, that if we could talk with them, that we could find a way of getting everybody's needs met. But if they are unwilling to communicate, as this principal of the school was, he just told the parents that he would not talk to them, these are the conditions under which we might sometimes apply the protective use of force in our social change efforts. So, the parents were concerned about damage being done to their children. Their focus was on that, not on the badness or the evil of the administrator. Their intent was not to punish this person. Their intent was to protect their children. And so, we met and looked at what actions could we take that would protect the children and help us create the connection with those who were doing the damage so that we could have a dialogue with them and come out with a way that would meet everybody's needs. After much discussion, we decided to organize a strike, take the children out of school. By doing that, they would be protecting the children from a continuation of the damage they saw happening in the school. Their purpose in doing this was not to punish anybody, purely to protect their children until they could have a discussion with the people in the school that they hoped would end with changing some of the procedures in the school that they felt were doing damage to the children. So that was a nonviolent communication social change project to protect the children from policies that they saw destroying the spirit of their children, to do this without any enemy image of the people doing this, and where the purpose of the social change action using protective use of force was just that, to protect the children, but without punishing the people who were contributing to the problem. So we organized a strike. The parents took the children out of school. They marched outside the school with signs communicating their intent. I had to help them change some of the signs because at first some of the parents had some signs in which they were saying things that implied wrongness on the part of the people running the school. And I showed them that I thought it would be more effective if we created signs that purely communicated our needs and our intent, but in no way implied that we saw the people at the school as evil or bad. And the project was successful in helping the parents finally getting the communication with the authorities that they needed to get their needs understood and to find a way of changing policies so that they felt that their children were better protected.